This is Green Light On, thanks to Arrêt des Trotteurs Ballarat. Enhance your breeding with European stars Bald Eagle and Volstead now available. On RSN Central.
Green Light On.
With Dan Malicki.
Welcome back to RSN Central, 18 minutes past 12. It is 12:19. It's time to welcome in the Green Light On team. And Dan Malecki, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Gareth. Yes, good afternoon to you.
And a very good afternoon to Adam Hamilton as well.
Afternoon, Gareth. Dan, good to be with you guys. Another tremendous weekend of harness action coming up. But just quickly before we get into it, can we indulge and go back to New Zealand and Ashburton on Monday, and do we take anything out of it? Copy that arrived and beat the big boys, but what a horrendously boring race it was.
Well, I keep on saying it each and every year, and New Zealand need to change it. Their lead up races to New Zealand Cup is absolutely dead set a disgrace, really, for the industry. Because some horses like Self Assured might gallop away, but it is a snore fest. They walk and then they sprint home a quarter. The traditionalists out there say Gareth standing start, so I can understand and blah, 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 but they just, and it probably wouldn't change if it was a mobile either, but I just find them, embarrassing, really, those lead up races, those standing starts. So I don't quite get it. And copy that, what did we find out? Nothing. He can run a quick quarter, but that's about
to,
all.
To integrate into that top level, you know, if you had that horse, that's a terrific way to go. He wasn't gassed, and he at the same time showed that he can mix it with him. So from a horse's confidence point of view, because he's only a young horse, if he was over here, Adam, he'd be a three-year-old.
It's amazing, isn't it? It is. It is amazing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not playing him down, but what I'm saying is, for him to come into equal favourite for the New Zealand Cup off a race where he was first to get to the front, yeah, he ran unbelievable closing splits, like home in 53 and 25 and, you know, just amazing. But it was a walk before that and they sprinted home. I'm not sure how you change the lead-up races. But anyway, look, we got three really big chances in it and then probably a half a chance in Classy Brigade, and then maybe a bit of about a 10.5% chance in Ashley Locas, and the rest of them are just making up numbers. So there's no depth in this New Zealand Cup. At the very top there is, but there's no depth beyond that. But it's still going to be a ripper race, and how good is a tough Monarch's gone over to try and defend his crown and running the two big trot races on Cup Day and Show Day as well?
Yeah, looking forward to Cup Day. It probably loses a little bit because there's no Australians over there, but it is the New Zealand Cup, one of the great races there on the Australasian harness racing calendar. Melton, another terrific meeting on Saturday night. The highlight is one of the rare group ones for mares, and it's the Queen of the Pacific. You've got Better in Force. This is a great story. Brian Gath picks up the drive here for Craig Cross, and she's in brilliant form at the moment. She's at $1.85 to win that race. Cure Low has drawn one at $19. Have Time at $11. No Win, No Feed at $17. Dracari's at $14. Speak No Evil at $11. I think Our Princess Tiffany can bounce back at $4.20. I guess Better in Force, you would want to know that she's getting the front, Dan, wouldn't you? Like, Cure Low doesn't like the hand up.
This race last year was won by Pistol Abbey. I'd say it was the best harness racing spectacle that we had for the whole year. Mm-hmm. For a distance where a lot of them haven't been to either before or for a long time, they were running all the way. There was plenty of moves. The winner was at good odds, but it was such an exciting race. And the same deal here too. When you say Better in Force lead for it, sometimes leading over 2760 metres, it is quite a challenge. She's a Kiwi, started off her life in New Zealand, so she's actually had some experience over longer trips. Even though her recent form is all over the mile, I wouldn't get sucked into believing she's just a short course horse, because her earlier form suggests she can run the trip. So if she does get in front with B. Gath, she'll be hard to beat because she can run time, I think, all the way.
Well, you want her in front, don't you, Adam? Especially with B. Gath in the gig. If she doesn't lead, I don't think she can win.
Uh, I, I would probably go close to agreeing with that, unless you got a world perfect trip, say like behind the leader or something like that. But yeah, you to take the. I'm stunned she's that short, and that's not putting her down. I think she's equal best mare in the race with our Princess Tiffany, and more on her in just a moment. But I don't think she's a guaranteed leader. Kualoa's there. No win, no feed. Has got blistering speed, although she may then hand to Better In Force if Better In Force was first to get to her. But it's a fascinating race. I don't know what to make of our Princess Tiffany. Really good first up. By her standards, disappointing last week. I know it was going to be hard to win in Stiff Park, but you would have thought the extra distance last week would have suited her. It's definitely going to suit her again this week, but I don't know. I maybe she's on a downward trajectory, not an upward one, given she was so good first up here, but disappointing slightly last week. But she's a tricky one for me to assess. But for me, it's about Brian Gaff, one of my all-time favourite people in the sport, one of the guys that got me into the game. And just think about this. What other sport, like if this was a 76-year-old jockey riding in a Group 1, a major Group 1 race, this would be virtually back page stuff. This is incredible, and it's one of the great things that can happen in our sport, I reckon, guys.
No, I totally agree. It's one of the great stories so far in harness racing, Dan, to have B. Gath at 76 years of age, and he still hasn't lost it. He looks as good as ever in the sulky, especially when he gets busy. It would be one hell of a story if he can win on Saturday night.
I thought it was a huge story when he drove the winner at Melton a couple of weeks ago. And fortunately, I had a chat to him pre-Victoria Cup about his record in that race and cracking the codes. It was a wonderful interview. And the two times we had him on that show, I would say the feedback, it's been the most popular that we've got. Like you said, Adam, he's a star. He is an star. People love Brian Gath. So to see him back up the track is one thing. But then to be driving a favourite in a Group 1 race, it brings back some fantastic memories. And people just love having him there. He just adds so much more to the story of harness racing, and it's great to have him there and pick up a terrific drive, and I'm sure he'll make the most of it. He hadn't won a race at Melton in the metropolitan area for, I think Repeat After Me, who's running Saturday night, was his last winner there about 3-odd years prior. So it's quite remarkable, isn't it, to think he hadn't had a Metro winner for about 3 years, got one a few weeks ago, and now is on one of the favourites in the Group 1.
Yeah, absolutely love it. He's a guy who's done everything possible in the sport, and to think that he can add another layer, potentially another Group 1 at this stage of his career is enormous. Go B-Gath, that's all I can say.
Yep, so looking forward to it. It would be, as we just pointed out, it would be the story of the year if he could do just that and win a Group 1 at his age. What about the free-for-all? And you've got Sunbeach Shadow at 380, the favourite. Rishi's at 460, Arden Voyager at 550, and Wolfstride at 390. Well, if Rishi, we keep on saying, it returns to that form that saw him win the Smoking Up Sprint, he'd be hard to beat. But there's a couple of up-and-coming horses here that get their chance. I find this race nearly impossible.
You see them more often than I do, but it's a really tricky race, but I'm with Rishi.
Well, I can see why. His form's terrific at Group 1 level. Wolfstride's the horse that is emerging, and I can see him being at that level and sustain that sort of form. There's a horse in the race that, gee, it's been unlucky. It has been so unlucky, I don't know where he gets to. And you might want to read out the price if you got it there. But Sicario's form looks woeful. It has had zero luck its last couple of starts, and it gave me the impression if it got the luck, it would have been in the finish. So I'd encourage to put him into your quaddies, and if he's good value, have something on him. What's he about, $8?
Yep, $8 with the tap.
You've got to be on him in some way, shape or form. There's a good-sized quaddie pool projected Saturday night, Adam, $150,000 at Melton, and even Sunday at Maryborough, $100,000. But if you're going to play in the quaddie, and I suggest you should with that sort of pool around, throw Sicario in.
We're going to need to chat about Maryborough now, but I don't want to close out Melton without saying catch a moment. I think we've always felt there's a little bit of X factor about this pacer, and and it was on display for everyone to see last week. It should be just another walk in the park, shouldn't it, to win the Big Bred Championship final from gate two?
He'll win by a big space, because the one I think will have to hand up there, even though it tried to lead all of the way the other day, it's $1.25. It's definitely a lock for your multis if you want some a little bit of extra value to your multis this weekend. The other feature race there is the Graduate, and you've got a horse like Perfect Stride at 250, but there's a few other chances. I think the speed map's interesting. Master Meister looked at his gate speed the other day. He's probably got enough to be prominent. If he does hold up, I think Major Jody's a wonderful bet. $31 and $6 you can get for that pacer, and Dee Douglas gets on really well with him. So I think that's wide open over that particular trip. But talking about Maryborough, she's my favourite horse. Keep on saying it. And she'll win again, Pink Alas.
Yep.
Doesn't matter where she...
I can't go against her.
Yeah, she'll win again. And Elite Stride, I got respect for Elite Stride, but he hasn't got the heart of a Pink Alar, and he's a short course horse for mine.
Yeah, you've got to go with Pink Alar, don't you, on everything we've seen. Jamondi was enormous, you've got to say, in the heat last week. And Elite Stride, it looked the way Anthony Butt spoke to you on in the gig after the race, Gareth. There was nothing keen or exciting about Elite Stride in the run. He just looked lackluster. Now, he's going to play around with his gear. I think you almost want this horse charging a bit in his races. So the query is whether at this stage of his career, 2,700 really suits him, or 2,690 metres. However, what we do know is if he can be coiled up and just use his speed late, it's lethal. There's no faster young trotter in this part of the world than Elite Stride over 400 metres. But whether he can still show that over 2,700 is the question. You've got to be with Pink Delar, but I'm not ruling out a return to form for Elite Stride if he gets the right trip.
All right, then, that's interesting. Mexicana, Josh Dickey prepares his trotter, is the favourite, of course, in the Redwood Classic Group 1 level.
Is that a bit disrespectful to our trotters?
I think so.
Mexicana comes over here and is automatically favourite. Like, this is the best crop of young trotters we've had probably ever for depth.
I think we always get carried away with the New Zealand form, Dan, because it's a New Zealand trotter. We always have this belief that the New Zealand trotters are better than ours, but I don't think that is the case anymore. I think and the standing starts the big question, but Kiyang Ninja, I think it's the star. I think it's the one to beat. You can get, what, $5 for that trotter?
Well, it is a stand start, and, you know, there's still two-year-olds, some of them with little experience in stand starts, so there's a bit of a raffle from that perspective. Although the good ones have been pretty consistent even in their stand start races. But I agree with you guys. I think the depth in our pacing and trotting ranks is as good as I've seen it. Without having a standout, without having a superstar or a champion that's 20 metres better than the rest, we're talking from a group level. So Mexicana would want to be good. If he comes out and wins by 30 metres, we might have to rethink our assessment of our two-year-old trotters. I tell you, the horse that really impressed me last start, and considering that she was a maiden, she's a pleasure. She's a pretty stylish trotter. If she can handle stepping away, she's strong. She looks like a four-year-old. She's got strength about her. There was that little gear change last start. Look, she's not the perfect racehorse just yet, but I think she's emerging, and I reckon she represents tremendous each-way value as a last start Group 1 winner.
Okay, and I think Majestuoso will be winning the Trotters free-for-all. I think it'd be too quick, too classy. Red Hot Tooth needs the pegs. I don't think it gets it there with semi-showdown drawn inside. Looking forward to that contest. But that trotting race, so many top-class trotters, but the start, how can you? You got to cross your fingers that your two-year-old does step away. There's plenty of other action happening over the weekend. The New Zealand build-up, as we just pointed out. And don't forget Gloucester Park. Chicago Bull, he's used up all his luck. He keeps on drawing barrier number one. It'd be interesting to see if that luck continues for the bigger races later on. But he'll be winning again on Friday night.
Yeah, you would think so from the draw. But look, Shockwave, last time they met was over the shorter trip. And I thought Shockwave might make more of a race of it early. It became a race that was going to advantage Chicago Bull a really fast last lap, and it was a short enough race anyway. So I think the 21:30 gives Shockwave a better chance to settle and maybe make it a really strong 1,200 metres, a bit of a last man standing, so to speak. So I expect Shockwave will get closer. And with the barrier draw, you're almost invited to back Shockwave at that slightly better value.
Can't win, Dan. Can't win, Adam.
Probably can't. What I will say is I don't think there's anything between them, but the peg run compared to having to sit parked is massively different across the park. I can't wait when they come together and the bond horses are there for those Prio and WA Cups. So they're not far away. Just quick, two things I wanted to mention. One of the great meetings. Dan, have you ever been to Kaikoura?
Oh, look, I didn't go there for their main race day, but I've been there non-cup day, and I went whale-watching once, and it's a perfect spot to go whale-watching at Kaikoura. So I had a horse run there once on the main day, and I've been there non-race day. It's a pretty special venue and probably the most attractive-looking background you'll ever see on a racetrack.
Yeah, it certainly is. That's coming up on Monday, Kaikoura. And as well as that, Gareth, just quickly a reminder, you can Chromecast Sky Racing Active now. And for harness fans, that's absolutely massive. You can do it off your Apple devices.
Rob Orber joins Green Light On with his truck selections. Presented by the Victorian Harness Racing Club. The new era has begun.
That is exciting. And Robbie Orber joins us. Hey, Rob, how do we back a winner over the weekend?
Well, where do we start? So many races everywhere at the moment. So what a great time. I keep saying each week it's a great time for harness racing. This weekend's no different. Focusing on Melton on Saturday night, I thought the Chris Finozio team has been racing in great form. He's got a couple of horses in the first two races that I think get into the right races to perform really well. I thought race one, number two, Repeat After Me, had an excellent chance in the first, and I certainly thought race two, number one, Delightful Mia, back to the 17:20. I think she's an each-way special there on Saturday night. I don't think she'll be missing the place. I think she's a strong winning chance as well. So I'm going to stick with the informed stable, the Chris Finozio team, race one, number two, and race two, number one.
Good on you, Robbie. Thanks to the Victorian Harness Racing Club, and there's plenty happening still with the club. So much excitement involved around your club at the moment.
Yeah, it hasn't even started. We're very close. We're just waiting for the Melbourne Cup week to unfold, and the new membership season will be starting. The packages will be launched in the next few weeks. The first of the bonus races will be starting off in December. It'll be a 13-month project for the club. The new members area is not far off from being signed off to commence our contract going to 2021. We've got some big major events that we're going to announce in early 2021. Lots of exciting things. We're only weeks away.
Good. This is Green Light On with Gareth Hall, Dan Malecki and Adam Hamilton. Dan, how do we make some money on the weekend?
Look, I reckon there's three horses that I fancy at Melton in particular on Saturday night. Race one, number two, Repeat After Me. I mentioned Sicario each way, race seven, number nine. And one of your horses, I think, is going terrific and is an each-way chance, race eight, number nine, Sunny Weaver.
Okay. Adam, were your thoughts there on the weekend's harness racing?
Yeah, well, I'm out on a limb a bit. I'm focusing on Melton this week. Ironically, I'm tipping Rishi and you're not this week. So, well-graded, drawn well. I think he's a tremendous chance in this race. And another one you were a bit slow on was Perfect Stride. Jewel Derby winner, geez, well graded. And Anthony Butt saying on In the Gig on Tuesday night, he's got him right back to his best. I think his best wins that race. So Rishi and Perfect Stride for me.
Okay. I think a dead set moral, if it does everything right, is how do you pronounce Huli Nen in the first race, Dan?
Huli Nen, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be winning. Race two's a difficult race. There's a few chances there. What else did we have? Catch the Moment will be winning in that race. Better Be Sorry and I'm Another Masterpiece. That's going to be some contest, I think, in race number five. Have you got an opinion there, lads?
Well, Frontline Draw's a big plus for Better Be Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm Another Masterpiece is a tale of two stories, isn't it? You know, sort of staggered home first up, and then an almighty win second up, albeit suited by the early burn in that race. But yeah, I'd probably be slightly with I'm Another Masterpiece.
And I think that mare's race is open. I'm looking for value. I'd love to see B Gath, but there's horses like Dracari's. If she gets a soft run, she'll be better suited to that draw. Our Princess Tiffany, I think, can definitely bounce back. And even it's impossible to win from the draw, but she went a lot better the other day, Rock and Roll Chapel. She's been racing pretty well without luck. She's 140-1 with the tab.
Is that right?
140 wow. to Jeez. 1. She's worth having something like five each way at that price. And then in race number 8, I think Major Jody's a big price at $31. Like she's going to get a, or he's going to get a soft run and is never really far away. And then there's a horse in the Claimer. I've been waiting for this horse. Third up, Stagger Lee. I think he can run a big race for Amanda Grieve as well. So there you go. Hopefully we make a fortune over the weekend, lads.
Yeah, well, you've been in really good tipping form, Gareth. So we'll be watching your tips pretty closely, no doubt about that. But it's a terrific weekend ahead. And, yeah, so much to look forward to at Melton. Really good meeting up there at Menangle as well with their New South Wales Breeders' Challenge Blue Finals blinging on in action. And, of course, we've got Melton Redwood Day. It's non-stop, isn't it? We roll into Kaikoura on Monday, so bring it all on.
It never ends. Dan, great calling. And Adam, great tipping and enjoy Derby Day, both of you legends.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
There's Adam Hamilton, fellas. And Dan Malecki there with it. Green light on.